Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
All right, Denton. College football review from Saturday, maybe the Friday night game, which there was a good one. It was a blowout, but it was a good one going in. It was not an anticipated week three of the college football season, but we almost had the biggest upset, not Northern Illinois over Notre Dame, but there was almost a massive upset of number one.
Yeah, that was probably the most surprising thing of the week. There actually was a big upset on Friday, which is UNLV over Kansas.
Love UNLV right now.
Which was, I mean, that was a fun one. They got a guy, a gamer, at the quarterback spot.
They
but the
do.
Big news of the week is that there's now a new number one because Georgia nearly gave it away against Kentucky. And despite the fact that Quinn Ewers got hurt and left the game for Texas, they are now the number one ranked team in the country. We got to see Arch Manning come in, and he played really, really well. Now, UTSA is not the UTSA of the past, you know, 2-3 years when they were one of the better non-Power 5 teams. So Texas did what they were supposed to do to a team like UTSA. But for a game this year where there are not a lot of good quarterbacks, it seems like Texas has an embarrassment of riches with two good quarterbacks. And by the way, Arch Manning has some speed. I did not anticipate that from somebody with a last name Manning.
Yeah, he's athletic. So a couple of things. Number one, is Georgia Georgia? I don't think they
no,
are. What do
no,
you say?
They are absolutely not. This weekend was some sort of validation for me, who never fully understood the Carson Beck hype. You know, he's projected as the number one overall pick. I mean, if Ron Rivera gets a job, he'll draft him and say that. But he was projected as the number one overall pick. He was a Heisman front runner. And I watched him last year, and there were some moments where he looked good. He looked like a competent quarterback. He looked like a good quarterback in the SEC. But I never saw a guy that was a legit game changer. It's really easy to look good at Georgia. It's really, really easy to look good when you have so much talent on every side of the ball and your defense is insane. It's a massive safety net to have. And Georgia's defense is still pretty darn good, but they're not like this. They're much more human, I would say, than I think maybe some people anticipated that they would be. They're still a really good team. I don't know who they have on their schedule this weekend. I'm praying for them because they're going to get destroyed. I mean, Georgia's going to be coming into their next game with a vengeance based off of how this Kentucky thing went. But Carson Beck, when you look at the list of good quarterbacks or great quarterbacks in college football this year, he's not on it. Admittedly, it's a small list. I mean, you could probably, I could come up with maybe five quarterbacks that I like really, really like right now in college football. Whereas this time last year, we were throwing in like Sam Hartman. They're going 10 deep getting to Notre Dame's quarterback, which that's just not the case this year.
Agreed on Carson Beck. Felt the same way last year. Definitely feel the same way. By the way, they both are taking, Georgia and Bam are taking this weekend off prior to their matchup a week from Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Georgia-Bama, for those of you wondering, a week from tomorrow. And by the way, there's a game down the road, Georgia at Texas. You know, that's a conference game on October 19th. If Georgia went to Bam and won, that could be a matchup of number one versus number two. I can't remember the last time we had a one versus two, unless it was Ohio State, Michigan, maybe recently. You can tell me, did we have a Bama LSU one versus two?
I'm looking that up now because I know.
Regular season.
Yeah, regular season. There was a time where it's called what? The Immaculate game, I think is what it is.
What, Catholics versus convicts? Are you talking about that?
No, it's like when you get a number one versus a number two. There's a certain kind of name for it. I think the last time we got it was 2011 with Bama and LSU.
Bama and LSU. But I mean, Georgia's schedule last year.
Oh no, no, we got in 2019 with LSU and Bama. They were number one, number two.
Was that was Burrow in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, it was Burrow in Tuscaloosa, and then Clemson was three that
year. Are you sure that was 1-2?
It's showing right now was the last time that we got one. Oh,
that
you know
was...
what? We got one 2 years ago when Tennessee reached number two, and they got shellacked by Georgia.
That was a one versus two?
That sure didn't feel like a one versus two. Georgia put the smackdown on them. That was when Hendon Hooker was quarterback.
Yeah, it was like 27-0, then it ended up like 27-13 or something. I had Georgia that day. I just remember that because it was a big number. Georgia's schedule, okay, they nearly lose at Kentucky. So they have Bama a week from Saturday. Then they have Texas October 19th. They also have to play at Ole Miss. They have three teams in the top five in the country all on the road on their schedule. This is not last year's schedule for Georgia. It's not last year's team. I agree with you. They were life and death with Kentucky. Now, I heard Kirby after the game talk about how their first road SEC game the last few years, I think he said last year it was at Auburn, and I remember that game being close. In 2022, I think he talked about a game at Missouri, which was really close. So he was making the point, road games in league play, your first one is always difficult, but if you can survive it, it's fine. We'll see. I'm not a big Carson Beck fan at this point. But, man, there are some heavyweight matchups down the road because of Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. All right, what do you have next?
All right, so some of the other things that that really caught my eye. One, I was really bummed that Tyler Van Dyke got hurt for Wisconsin, but I do think that was the best that we've seen Jalen Milroe play in terms of confidence. And
Wisconsin stinks.
Yeah, they're not great. I do think it would have been a little different if Van Dyke was in the game, just because I think they would have had a little more sustainability on drives offensively. Bama still crushes them, but I did think it was the best that Jalen Milroe had looked this year.
Yeah, so Carson Beck is one guy, and I think Milroe for me is the other one. I don't see it. Like, I see Carson Beck moving out and late in the first round, if not out of the first round, and I don't see Milroe. To me, it's yours. Sanders, although I think there's some question marks around Sanders, Shedeur Sanders. And I think we're going to see Cam Ward kind of fly up draft boards here. I don't know where he is right now, but the Miami quarterback is really dynamic. And we got to see, you know, they haven't played anybody really, because Florida in the swamp right now is, it's kind of sad to see how bad they are. I don't know how Napier's held on to the job. I would assume they're going to buy him out shortly. But yours is the one. And, you know, you mentioned Texas in, you know, supplanting Georgia as the number one team. What is the injury status of yours? Not that they're not going to be really good with Arch Manning, but yours was so good at Michigan, as he was last year in Tuscaloosa. I still think they need him. And they're better off with him right now than they are Arch Manning in terms of a national championship run.
So according to ESPN, it's an ab injury that is not as serious as initially feared. So he's week to week. So we will see what that means. He's likely going to be out this weekend against Louisiana Monroe. But hopefully by the time you get to that Georgia matchup, he's going to be back in. By the way, you're asking about a big board stuff. So I pulled up a Pro Football Focus big board. Obviously, it's really, really early. But they have Carson Beck still as the top-rated quarterback. They got Shedeur Sanders. Are you sitting down for number three?
Tell me yet.
My jaw was on the floor.
Give me a hint.
It's an SEC quarterback.
It's an SEC. It's not Nussmeier.
It is not Nussmeier.
It is. Well, did you say Quinn Ewers?
It is not Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers is four on this list, according to PFF.
Is it Jackson Dart?
It is not Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is way, way down this list.
Is it Cook?
No. It's Connor Wegman from A&M.
God. Well, this is early.
I mean, this is
he got
way
benched.
Too early.
He got benched.
He is not good. He's not good.
Yeah,
Milroe to me is a really good college player. I don't know what he's going to pan out like in the NFL, but he's really good. He's a really good college player because he can do it with his arm.
Connor Wegman,
and his
by the
legs.
Way, highly touted quarterback, went to Texas A&M, got paid big time, and the more athletic quarterback has already basically taken his spot.
Pretty much. By the way, just to completely destroy my perception, your perception, they have Graham Mertz on here, so I'm going to go ahead and click out of this.
Yeah, that's too early. That's a that's June PFF ranking of the 25 class.
But
I want to ask you about Tennessee, because mm-hmm. they play Oklahoma in Norman Saturday night.
Right.
That is a conference game, by the way, an SEC game. Tennessee, so I actually took a picture of this because I wanted to be able to talk about it without forgetting. At halftime in their game on Saturday against Kent State, They were up 65-0 at halftime and had 541 yards and 21 first downs in a half. They also, you know, up 30-0 kicked an onside kick.
There were a couple onside kicks and blowouts this week.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing against a MAC team like that. But how real is Tennessee, and what kind of chance do you give Oklahoma on Saturday night?
Tennessee is very real. This offense, to me, is very similar to what it was in 2022 when Hendon Hooker was at the helm, mm-hmm. and the running game is really impressive. So they have a couple different directions they could beat you on offense, which for years Tennessee did not have, and I don't know that many teams in college football have the ceiling offensively that Tennessee does. The problem is, like, what you do to Kent State isn't really all that impressive. Now, I would look at that NC State game. While I don't particularly love NC State, I certainly don't love their offense. Doing what they did to a Power 4 team is more impressive to me. I'm excited for that matchup this weekend. It's not my favorite game of the weekend. I'll share that with you in a second. But I'm excited to see, like, just how real they are. I think they're real. I think Nico Y's a pretty good quarterback, but really I trust Josh Heifel. It's just more a question of, are we getting smokescreened by, like, the Kent States and the, you know, small school U that they're paying millions of dollars to beat up in, like, week one? I'm excited to see what they're going to do against Oklahoma. For Oklahoma, your best offense is, or your best defense is really going to be keeping their offense off of the field, which is going to be really tough for Jackson Arnold. I think he has the potential to be a good quarterback. He is their highly touted five-star guy. He ain't looked that good so far. They struggled offensively against Houston 2 weeks ago. And if you can't score against Tennessee, like, regardless of how you feel about that, they're going to score. They're going to put up a lot of points. You're going to have to put up at the very least 28 points to be able to hang with Tennessee. I don't know that Oklahoma can do that.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma was, you know, they were up 5 and Tulane had the ball in the fourth quarter. They're struggling offensively, but I think they're very good defensively. That should be a scene Saturday night in Norman. What else did you want to get to?
So one of the bigger games that you and I talked about last week was Boston College and Missouri. Yeah. There's a lot of good players in this one. Obviously, Luther Burden III is the best wide receiver in college football. There's a lot of good ones. You got obviously Travis Hunter, although he should play defensive back at the NFL because his instincts are crazy. You got T-Mac at Arizona, which he's their big number four for the Wildcats. He is awesome. That's a name if you're a Commanders fan, you want a wide receiver in the draft, keep an eye on him over there at Arizona. But the way that Boston College battled was really, really impressive. But I also love the way that Missouri battled. They hadn't really been tested this year, and they're in a really unique spot because they're ranked very highly. A lot of that is based off of last season, and they bring a lot of guys back this season. But they're in the SEC, and their schedule is, it's not like Florida's schedule. You know, they're on the road against Texas A&M in a couple weeks. Then they're on the road against Bama and Oklahoma at home in back-to-back weeks. Like, they're going to have a couple of really difficult games coming up on their schedule here. So seeing that they were able to kind of hang with a team that's in a similar position as they are, not that Boston College is fighting for a college football playoff spot, but a similar position as they are, I thought that was a strong win for Missouri. But, man, Bill O'Brien coach teams are really, really good.
Really, really good. I had Missouri. I had, you know, I put them out in the smell test. I had them personally, and they actually were driving up 24-14 late. They were, you know, converted a couple of fourth downs. They could have put the game away and then gave up a touchdown drive and ended up having a competitive game at the end. I think they're well coached. I think Brady Cook is a really solid decision maker at quarterback. I mean, how many years has he been in college football? Can somebody tell me that? It seems like he's been at Missouri for about 15 years. Luther Burden, as you said, is certainly up there among the best receivers in the game. Let me mention Ty Felton at Maryland is one of the best receivers in college football. He's third in the nation in receiving yards. He is third in the nation in receptions. And he is having a phenomenal season. I would just say about Maryland's win over Virginia Saturday night, man, did they need that, because the Michigan State loss felt like two. You can't. You know, there's that saying that, you know, it's one of those cliche coach sayings where when you lose a game, you know, like Maryland lost to Michigan State, the coach says you can't lose to Michigan State twice. you know? You can't lose to them twice, meaning you can't let it carry over into the following week. And I think Maryland had that game in so many different ways. They had a chip shot field goal to go up 10, and they didn't go for a 4th-and-1, and Maryland fans were screaming about it. And I'm like, well, they hadn't run the ball all day, and they had a chip shot field goal to go up 10. So I actually didn't have a problem with that Loxley decision. But they were in trouble in the first half against Virginia. I mean, Virginia turned the ball over 4 times in the game, and 3 of them, I think, were in the first half, and Maryland was down 13-7. They didn't take advantage of anything. But they're just more talented than Virginia across the board, and it just kind of, they wore down. Billy Edwards got hot. Ty Felton, 9 more catches for 117 yards. They've got other playmakers, too. That's a good win from where they were at halftime. I was concerned. I thought they were going down at halftime, in part because, did you know that Virginia went off as a 2.5-point favorite, Denton, in that game?
Yeah, that line swung like crazy towards the Saturday.
So much sharp money on UVA. Maryland's got Villanova, then they're at Indiana, Northwestern, and then they get USC. So, look, you know, Loxley has found a way, even with some devastating losses, like last year when they lost at home to Illinois. They lost to Northwestern on the road, games that they thought they should win. Michigan State, by the way, is undefeated, and they're clearly better than I think people thought they would be. But it's like, you know, their 2 wins, it's Florida Atlantic, and they played somebody that was terrible this week. They actually play Boston College, I'm pretty sure, this Saturday, which is interesting. But Loxley's going to figure out a way with the talent that he's got. They're going to win 7 or 8 games. They'll be in a bowl game again. It just sucks that they didn't beat Michigan State, because you would have been building towards maybe a game against USC in October. And you didn't mention USC. They beat so when they beat Utah State last weekend 48-0, I didn't think anything of it until Utah State on Saturday at home against Utah had them in trouble in that game. You know, that was a 7-point game in the 4th quarter. So maybe we have to start paying attention to SC a little bit more. I like Miller Moss. They clearly have speed. They always do.
Yeah, they definitely
have
speed.
We didn't talk about the best game of the day by far, which was LSU's comeback against South Carolina in Columbia, down 17-0. The only thing I'll tell you is, as bad as LSU's defense was last year, it ain't much better this year.
It's not much better. They just don't have a quarterback that can run. By the way, that Utah State, that was a mini Zach Wilson playing, not Cam Rising at quarterback.
I know it was. Is Cam Rising out again?
God, I hope not. I want him to. That Oklahoma State Utah game is my personal favorite this upcoming weekend, but I need to have Cam Rising in it.
Yeah, Utah, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I think you said Utah State, Oklahoma. Maybe you didn't. Yes, a huge game, and Utah State's favored. Utah, you've got me saying Utah State. Utah is favored in this game, and I don't think they looked like world beaters with Zach Wilson's brother quarterbacking.
No, they did. But that LSU South Carolina game that you mentioned, you know, I questioned. I was like, why is game day going to South Carolina when you could go to Missouri for the Boston College Missouri game? And I quickly was proven wrong. But LSU's defense did not get. If they got better, it was in very small increments from last year. The only difference is now that I mentioned is that Garrett Nussmeier, who is, he's a good thrower of the football, but there is zero threat with his legs. Like, absolutely zero, to the point where I was watching that game in the second half, and, you know, they're lining up in, like, what you would traditionally see a read option or RPO kind of look. And I'm like, at least once this Nussmeier guy just has to keep it. Because the DNs for South Carolina are crashing on the running back. Even if you got like Tom Brady speed, you'll still get a couple of yards because they're not expecting you to run at all. I kind of was pulling for South Carolina at the tail end of it, although I was a little upset at their quarterback in Sellers ditching the goggles for contacts. I mean,
got hurt too in that game.
He did get hurt, but I mean, ditching the goggles, he was the rec specs king. For those of us that have 4 eyes, I like a guy that wears rec specs. So I was a little hurt that he went with the contacts.
The running back that LSU had, I think he's a true freshman, number 29. I forget his name because the other guy that had the torn ACL last year also got hurt after the SC game, where he looked good. But that freshman running back, what's his name?
Why am I blanking? Caden Durham.
Number 29.
Caden Durham.
He was excellent. But the other thing is Kyren Lacy just going to be the next of the LSU receivers?
Yeah. Yeah, they just need to throw to him more. I mean, he only had 5 catches for 63 yards, but he did have a touchdown. He is next up on the list of good receivers.
Is he projected first round?
Hold on, let me go find my... I would assume that he is.
I mean, the LSU receiver train is just amazing.